champ is here.
Uh-huh.
The champ is here.
I have arrived.
The champ is here.
Holla.
The champ is here.
Listen, the champ I'ma kill him with the first verse.
The
and I'ma bury him
here.
With the second.
The champ is here.
Watch.
The champ is here.
Thinking that you better than me.
The champ is here.
Nah, boys, play. Rehab, try to cure my addiction. I relapse. They want me to fall.
Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick, and I've got an important question for you today.
What's
your favorite type of hanger?
The big pack one, but in fairness, the random half back line hanger that Ellie McKenzie took that sure you're referring to is was very nice.
I know. I'm disappointed you've got exactly the same answer for me, because I was trying to sort of mentally arrange sort of famous Richmond hangers of the past, and I think like a lot of Richmond fans of a certain age, the Michael Roach mark where you leap on a guy's back just as they're jumping and end up 9 feet in the air with a slightly terrified look on your face. That's still the gold standard. But a very solid number two is when you jump on someone's back and they crumple to the ground in a disgraced heap, which I think Ellie McKenzie is a fine addition to the genre. Anything that makes me think of David Burke taking a hanger on James Heard is a good thing for the world.
That was actually what I was thinking. Yes. Can I change my answer, Nick? The better answer was any big Richo pack mark was my favourite.
Well, speaking of which, I couldn't, for all the literally thousands of marks that Richo took in his career, there's an archetype of the big pack mark, but it's hard to think of any one in particular, or at least for me.
No, that's true. I mean, there was one, the Richo one he took against Port in the goal square. But it's more, you're exactly right, that they weren't always sort of mark of the year contenders, but what they were just very emotionally satisfying because of Richo.
When somebody sort of takes the, the Jack's specialty of, diving horizontally, taking those, they're always, I appreciate those, but it's harder to love.
Yeah.
You still
love them, so, yeah.
Just not quite as much.
Yeah, but, we haven't had a Jeremy Howe at Richmond. I mean, Jack was the closest we had who would consistently take hangers. But it was a wonderful mark and a good game. It's a shame that the season's over, but at least they'll compete. And it's a shame they didn't win, of course, but they were competitive and just such an improved season.
And look, as two things happen that really sum up their season. You know, the Bulldogs jumped them in the first quarter, and they fought back and made it a really close game that was right in the balance till the last couple of minutes. So, yeah, that last year, they would have been blown away in the first quarter and then blown away in the second quarter, and more of the same in the second half. So they've come a long way this year. Like it's a really successful season, and they've got four players. In the All-Australian squad, and with Mon Conti and Katie Brennan, an extremely good chance to make the final team, and Harriet Cordner and Ellie McKenzie is sort of deservedly in the squad. So it's a successful season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everything's relative, right? And they have, it's just, they've improved so much from where they were. Sorry for the background noise. And we'll be looking forward to them coming back. And also the off-season will be exciting, which we will cover in more depth in the future show.
Yeah, there. I was really pleased Sophie Moylan, for the club's first round draft pick last year, she's coming on, but probably not as fast as we liked. And I thought it was her best game for the season. But yeah, it was a really competitive game of football. Probably didn't deserve to win. They got as close as they did because Katie Brennan's as on fire as any forward in the AFLW. But yeah, no, it was. Unlike last year, where I think we're all feeling a bit shell shocked by the end of the season, yeah, I think we'd happily go another three rounds.
Absolutely. Now, Nick, it was a big week of news. We'll talk about the Hawthorn game in a sec, but since we're recording on Friday, which is entirely my fault, and so for apologies to the listeners and to you, Nick, there's a lot's happened between a fairly pedestrian Hawks game and Easter Friday.
Yeah, so, well, since we last recorded, we've had Dimmer re-signing for a very well-deserved three-year extension. We've got news that Liam Baker triggered a one-year contract extension. Noah Bolter signed a two-year contract extension. Nick Vlosten signed a five-year contract extension. And obviously the biggest news of all was Ivan Soldo signing a one-year extension.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm greatly relieved and have been sort of checking my Twitter feed for, you know, hourly for the last few years, on the search Soldo for the update. So that was very exciting.
Nine years but, short of what you were looking for, but pleasing nonetheless.
Indeed. So the jokes aside, obviously Dimmer's the really interesting one because it's quite a long extension. And as you say, very well deserved. And why wouldn't you lock up Dimmer for as long as you possibly could? But it's interesting from his perspective too, because he's basically signing up for not the rebuild, but the list refresh. If you look what the list is going to look like in his last season of that contract, it's almost certain that Hooley, Edwards, Jack, Cochin, Asprey will all be gone. Dusty will hopefully be a sort of dignified Burgoyne-like creator. And probably Grimes, Lambert, Pickett will all be gone too. And Prestia will be sort of 32, 33, as will Tom Lynch. And he knows this. Dimmer's not an idiot. Now, athletes' careers are getting longer, but there's only... Basically, he's saying that he wants to be coaching not just this team, but the next team. So I take heart in that Dimmer's really investing in the long term and isn't thinking, okay, we trust him not to do. But, you know, a more cynical person might say, well, I'll ride this team for the next 2 to 3 years and then maybe I'll chase a huge payday at an up-and-coming club. And he's clearly not chosen to do that. So I think the extension is, there's more to it than just, oh, it's nice that we re-signed Dimmer, but we expected that to happen. The length is noteworthy.
Yeah, and he'll get to do that. To do that, I don't know if rebuild's the right word, but yeah, I just checked.
I think refresh is the politically correct.
There's only four players on the list: Vlossy, Lynch, Dusty, and Prestia, who've got contracts for 2024. So yeah, there's a lot that can happen as the team evolves. I mean, they're a good, very good four players to have as your core. But yeah, I think it's again the value of that off court, off field stability of having someone, you know, Peggy and Brendan as a very stable, mature leadership team. You know, you haven't got a president taking shots at your coach through the media. Like it's just, you know, the level of drama is dialed down as much as is possible with a very big Melbourne club.
But that's the other thing is that Peggy will probably be gone by then.
Mm. Brendan as well. Yeah.
And Peggy. Yeah. So like that again. That's he's embracing a level of leadership and uncertainty of taking that long contract. And by the way, it's just Peggy's board term is up. Mm. There's nothing. Not suggesting any nefarious or any inside information, but yeah. So it's like it is more meaningful than it looks on the that extension. I think is more meaningful in a good way than perhaps it looks on the surface. And on the surface, it looks very good too.
It's great. Of the player contracts, I was really glad to see Bolter re-signed. I mean, he's yonks away from free agency, but yeah, I was happy with two. Would have been even happier with three, but I think even at the end of this next contract, he'll still be shy of free agency. So yeah, it's a good result.
Yeah, I mean, probably a millionth time if they released the data. It would be interesting to see Vossi's contract, whether he took a bit of a discount to get the sort of the years at the end, or whether he just wanted a long contract for security reasons. We don't know, but you know, it's hard to, like, 5 years is a long contract for a halfback flank, but you'd be met. I mean, we all loved it, and one with some history of concussions, but who on earth would seriously argue the counterfactual on giving Vossi a long contract?
And sort of the list of sort of players you're worried about other teams backing up the truck for is actually getting pretty light. It's
well, it would have been Bolter,
yeah,
right?
Bolter, and Bolton, and whether you know does someone fancy the idiosyncratic magic of George Castagna? For a big contract is a question.
Yes, well, that'll obviously be closely followed by his legion of fanboys. But I think it is safe to say that George would be recognised by all clubs in the AFL at being at the right club and the right system for him.
Yeah. And yeah, it's hard to see unless you were going, you know, the Essendon's Richmond copycat project seems to be struggling a bit. So yeah, it's hard to see. You wouldn't rule it out, of course, but hard to see it right now. The 100 games this week as well for George.
Yeah, exciting, and actually kicking quite well for goal this year. So, like, kicked an absolute pearl against the Hawks. A beloved member, three-time premiership player. But I'm not losing sleep over his contract. I think we'll manage.
No, Bolton's the one who, you know, he's an electric tanker talent. I mean, we started off the show talking about hangers, like he'd. Player most likely to take a really sensational mark, he'd be my choice.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously managed by Ralph Carr, so there's that, you know, there's that scar tissue there. But actually, the evidence that Ralph Carr has really difficult contract negotiations, it's not that strong outside Dusty. And obviously, Dusty has far more leverage. So yeah, we'll wait and see. But yeah, there was some other off-field news as well.
Yep, Sydney Stack. Finally got his court date in Perth, and was allowed to, unfortunately, conviction recorded, which is disappointing, but he was allowed to return to Melbourne, and yeah, he's been seen at training, and his fitness is obviously behind because he's been away from the club for so long, and he's suspended for the first month of the season, similar to Callum Coleman-Jones. But yeah, so I think he's effectively doing another his own preseason over the next few weeks, if not months. So we'll probably we'll probably see him in the VFL in a few weeks. But yeah, I think realistically, it's second half of the year before he'll be probably a strong chance to play seniors.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, just great to have him back. Yeah, so it's been a big week at the club.
So the VFL had another practice game, which actually we did get somebody was kind enough to put some stats on Twitter, which was very good of them. Brenton Mann, who's works at the club. I think it's still, from the highlights, it's still shocking quite how tall the forward line is with CCJ and Samson Ryan together. But they've kicked 12 goals in the first two games between them, and they look pretty good, but better than I expected, frankly.
If you had to watch the whole game. Yeah, and probably if you watch the whole game, you'd see the downside of that. But CCJ, I think, what was it, 4 contested marks, which is quite a lot.
Yeah, four kicked 4 goals.
So I'm really looking forward to real VFL and seeing if he can keep up that form. He didn't have a great game in that Pirates practice game where he got quite a lot of time as a forward/ruck. But it's still exciting that he's clunking those marks in the VFL. But we kind of knew he could do that. We also knew that Chol could get the ball around the black ground a lot at VFL level at the ruck, which he did as well. Was there anything else?
Rioli 6 tackles. You know, we know that's the way to Dimmer's heart is to have his small forwards crunching dudes and closing fast on them. So yeah, that's encouraging. And yeah, Hugo Rouse-Smith, 20 disposals off half back. Like he's already been he Will Martin and Riley Collier Dawkins have all been emergencies for the seniors and not played a game, which is we've talked about before, isn't it? It's been nearly 30 years since a Richmond player was an emergency and not made a senior debut in shout out to Justin Paul. They've been so close. But with this injury sub, you can't, like Jack Ross has now played a quarter and a half of football in the last 2 weeks. Like he can't either. He's in the squad this week in the 22, but he can't. It's just no good for his footy to have a third week as injury sub. And, I think there's even an argument, which I think we're seeing, where these guys get full, the 23rd man gets full match payment. So I think you are seeing clubs that are under a bit of salary cap pressure playing some younger players, knowing that there's a good chance they won't play very much, if at all.
Yeah, interesting. So you could sort of see where Ralph Smith was on the come up because of the practice games. He got a reasonable amount of time. So, it's nice that those stats were online. But Nick, we did actually play a game of AFL football since the last time we did this podcast.
Against the Plucky Hawks.
Plucky Hawks, nice underdog, up and coming, rebuilding.
Courageous effort by them, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought, you know, that was that they got tested against the best, and they didn't embarrass themselves. They actually covered the point spread by 1 point.
On expected goal kicking, we were a bit sloppy. It was a 41-point win on expected score. You know, based on where shots were taken from,
and also like the. The fact that we got out to an early lead in the first quarter and then just held it on for the rest of the game. Like
even there someone who is as nervous and stressed during games as I am, there was a degree of comfort throughout.
Yeah, there were times where almost like it was too easy. Like, I mean, it's not Dimmer's style to really blow out teams, right? I don't think he's ever... It's never been a big feature of his teams to really go razzle-dazzle. But there were... you know, the dusty goal through the midfield, through the centre square, which, by the way, was started by a Bolter tap. And the, do you remember the goal where I think Prestia passed to Bolton,
yep,
passed to Jack? It was just the most magnificent play. Like, it was
some of our
stuff.
Centre square work, like from when we got Prestia back in the finals last year, our centre square work has been very tidy from something that wasn't a strength for a long time.
Yeah, I agree. And just sometimes it just felt like it was almost too easy for us. Like, that if we keep this, like in the first quarter, we were actually killing them physically. Like, we were really cracking in hard. But once we got the lead up, we sort of felt we had their measure. And, like I said, it felt once or twice like we were almost coasting. You can't play the full season at 100% to the throttle. I mean, they would, of course, furiously deny that and say that they were trying very hard, which I'm sure they were. I'm sure they're absolutely exhausted after the game. But yeah, there was something about, I don't know about you, Nick, but the game in the second half did feel a bit like a practice game.
Yeah, and the Hawks style where they have a lot of uncontested possessions. Tom Mitchell, 37 disposals for less than 200 metres gained type stuff. It made for a somewhat frustrating game at times, you know, both. I think our forward line hasn't really clicked yet in the first 2 weeks. Well, not out of form, and Jack's certainly in form, but the forward line as a whole. Dan Rioli's, look, it's good that Dan Rioli had 4 shots on goal. Like, if he'd kicked them all, he's had a great day. But yeah, he looks a bit out of sorts.
Yeah, he does. And there was no other measure of, he had 7 disposals. Arts only had 5. Arts kicked a really nice goal, important goal. When was the last time Rioli really looked in sorts? Like, he's almost become a specialist sort of cover pressure player. And, you know, he rarely seems to be taking over games.
It is surprising that of the small forwards, obviously of the smaller forwards, Kane Lambert's the most reliable, but of the goal-kicking small forwards, George is the most reliable, which is, 2017, us would have been pretty surprised by that.
That's a good point.
I thought, obviously quite a few players playing well. Trent Cotchin was winning a lot of ball, if not always using it particularly well. I laughed at the Clarkson masterstroke of putting Burgoyne on him. I thought, sometimes you do daring tactical moves out of a flash of inspiration, and sometimes it's more desperation, and you don't have anyone better to play on him. And I think Clarkson knew that he wasn't going to win the matchup, and that Burgoyne could do a bit of damage the other way. And yeah, I think it was still a comfortable 3-vote game.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about Dustin. You transitioned off Cotchin. So yeah, two. I'll come back to Clarko's move in a second. But yeah, 2 Dusty's game. To me, clear best on ground, best on the AFL ratings. Not actually, Shorty was best on the champion data ratings. But 28 disposals, 11 in the first quarter, just took it over. Was second on the ground, level with Jack Graham on pressure acts as well, even though he only had 1 tackle. So he's superb. I'm sure it's just he's in good shape, but he looks faster. He looks amazing. Lots of meters gained. to say that he, I mean, he led the team on score involvements, but some of those weren't so much score involvements as handing the ball to a player immediately from the goal line and he'd say, here, you get this for me. They were like just superb. We're so lucky to, it's so, like watching Richmond at the moment is like watching your favorite band, and it's just like, you know, Dusty playing this well is like, when you go see your favorite brand, you want them to nail the performance of their classic song, and that's what it's like watching Dusty at the moment. Interesting on on the Bergholm Clarkson thing, like Dusty was clearly best on ground, and he didn't get full votes in the coach's vote, which is just Clarko hanging on to that. It's so hard, but like you're exactly right. Like you don't, he didn't have a matchup for him, so I thought, all right, what's the least worst option. Yeah, and maybe we'll get something back the other way. Bergholm wasn't in the top half of the ratings this week, and he does quite well in ratings. It did not work. It didn't remotely work. Could have anything have worked? Probably not. But yeah, nice work, Clarko. You keep telling yourself that the Dusty wasn't best on ground.
While not overwhelming statistically, I did enjoy Noah Bolter monstering plucky young 27-year-old Tim O'Brien in the first quarter. Like I thought that set the stage.
Absolutely. And by the way, we kicked two goals through him doing dynamic things in the ruck. So, as always, I know there's a debate going on about he shouldn't play in the ruck. I don't, to the credit of those people, I don't know what their argument is. I presume it's because their backline structure suffers. But God, I love him as a second ruck. I think he's amazingly dynamic. The only reason I can think, and again, I haven't heard the argument the other way, is that we don't want to wear him out because he's an amazing athlete and you don't really want 115-kilo dudes jumping into him 10, 15 times a game.
Yeah, I mean, if you keep him away from the real monsters, but you know, Hawthorn have McAvoy as the backup and also playing key defender. It's not... You know, it's traditionally much more of the backup ruck plays forward, but it seems to be working pretty well. I thought.
But by the way, despite the fact McAvoy is the captain and on a big contract, we won the hitouts to advantage.
I thought Segler was probably more influential around the ground.
I think that's fair. It wasn't Nank's best game, but you know, as you pointed out before, and you know, our centre square work was and clearance work was good enough that it was still a very sound game.
Yeah. Down the line, Dave's chugging along seems in good form.
Cracking tackle as well. Interesting. Fridge Graham, returner Cochin. His role seems to. By the way. Last week, we mentioned Cochin had never had that many metres gained in a game. Well, he broke his own personal best this week, which was another personal middle finger to this podcast, which I'm sure he listens to religiously. But takeaway, he had 27 touches and he only had two in the last quarter when the queue was in the rack. So it was a pretty good game. But obviously Fridge suffered from being kicked out a bit because Fridge's stats sort of plummeted. I think he had 15. So it just obviously different role with Cochin back. But be interesting to see this week. We've got a sample of two games where Fridge's lands. You know, it was a thump back to earth and let's see whether he kicks back up to sort of a new higher normal in his third game.
I think, I mean, Grimes, he has such a high standard. And I don't think he's quite at peak form, but he's going well. And yeah, the whole defence.
Well, I was going to say on the positive side that I thought that's one of the best games I've seen Nathan Broad play.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, he's going well. You know, I was always hesitant to put him with the rest of the defenders because he was more prone to being outmarked. But he's got better in that respect, and he's super versatile. And that, look, if there's anyone else you want to talk about. I actually think that's a good spot to start talking about the Swans.
Absolutely.
Look, they're feeling very good about themselves with the 2-0 start. A really good win over the Lions to start the year last week. You know, pretty good as well. They had Buddy back last week for seemingly, sadly, only a one-off appearance. Like, you know, it's been rested this week. But yeah, they're a fun team. Of course, with the New South Wales clubs, there's always the, you know, that they have by far the most productive academies of any club, and the Swans, you know, between Callum Mills and Isaac Heaney a few years ago, and this year they've got Errol Goulden, who's right now would have to be one of the favourites for the Rising Star, had a great game last week, Braden Campbell, their first-round draft pick, Logan McDonald, up forward.
Yep.
Yeah, they're a frisky team. Tom McCartan made the transition to being a key back and is going pretty well in the role. Like they're always well coached. But yeah, there's definitely, you can see the future for the Swans.
Yeah, and I guess to your first point about Buddy, I think it's part of our arrogance now that I was actually sad he's not playing, because I was really looking forward to see that 3 years ago us was happy when Buddy was not playing. Campbell, you know, or as you mentioned, I've got a couple of good young players killing it. Like Campbell might, or amazing left footer, you know, looks like one of the best distributors in the AFL. Already, and the young forward McDonald, he's been looking good too. And obviously James Robinson's been playing really well. But we both agreed offline that they're a prime candidate for progression. And one of the things was I was thinking is, you know, guys like Campbell, they're really inexperienced and they've been playing key roles, and there's only so many games you can play like that. But you had an even
better point. Well, yeah, so on the season there, Their expected goal kicking stats are about plus 40 more, so they've actually scored 40 more points than you'd expect from their shots at goal. So that'd say probably regressions coming. I mean, they can, of course, they can always have another good game kicking it, but their game against the Crows was a lot more even than it looked on the scoreboard. So yeah, against the Lions, they're another high possession team, and I think the Swans have traditionally not played all that well on the MCG because they had a team more built for the confines of the SCG. But yeah, they're a younger, more athletic team, and they're not as good in the guts. Actually, they like doing a lot of uncontested stuff, and they're a poor centre clearance team. Although, you know, Tom Hickey's competent in the ruck, but yeah, they're not good at clearances, and their kicking can sometimes, you can put them under pressure with their kicking. So yeah, I think there's some. The underlying numbers are probably leaning our way, which is why the betting line's blown out from about 21 to about 26 points in the course of the week. So, yeah, we're pretty solid favourites.
Yeah, and to your analysis about them, you know, wanting uncontested possessions, that's exactly why Dimmer's talking about we want to bring the pressure this week. Because, you know, ideally what we do is we just, you know, we smother them. We give the classic Richmond pressure game and they fall apart. mentally under the pressure like so many times teams have before, on sort of Fridge and Dion and our George and our chasing forwards really get stuck into them. The only thing that, you know, just thinking out loud about that, slightly worrying, it's a hot day. It's going to be 29. So, you know, the skills, and it'll be the G, and it'll be a good day to show your skills. So if we can't bring the pressure, you know, if it looks like the last half against the Hawks, there is a small chance that, you know, they might get the ball pinging and cut our way through us. So, like, this is just like trying to find a scenario where we don't win. But if we play anywhere near our potential, it's the roughly 30-point line seems more than justified.
Yeah, I think there's not a lot of happening on selection, I don't think, is it? I don't think Flossie's going to be back, is he? Or what have you heard? No.
No, he's not. No.
So
that's the team might be the no changes. I think the sub has to change because Jack Ross didn't play last week, so he'll need a proper run. So we might get a RCD or Hugo Rouse-Smith debut.
Yeah, Bashir Hooley's apparently close, but you'd imagine he'd come back through the VFL.
Totally. Especially Jaden Short's killed it 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, it's true. It would be the... I feel a bit funny about a player debuting and not getting to go on the ground. I know there's loads of historical precedent for it, but it feels funny.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually. And, you know, Dow was an equally good candidate.
I think he's got appendicitis. So... I saw him pop up on an injury list.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, okay.
The week.
No, but yeah, I completely agree. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Taking the whole family to the game. Beautiful Saturday afternoon at the G. Should be a lot of fun.
I'm Nick. We're Richmond Tigers.
I'm Andy.